Good evening, everyone. I am very humbled and very grateful to be able to be here with you with my family this evening. For those of you who may not know, my name is Sean Jeffries, and my family and I currently live in Columbia, Tennessee. We're working with the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. We've been there for a little over 2 years now. Before then, we were in Florida for 4.5 years in Leesburg, Florida. And before then, we were training in Beaumont, Texas, at the Dowland Road Church. And during that time, in 2006 and 2007, this congregation blessed me with some opportunities to come here and work on my craft in preaching, and I am forever grateful for that. And we're just so blessed to be able to be here with you. I believe almost about 8 years or so later, God has worked that out where we can be here with you again, and we're so thankful, so humbled by that. I want to thank the elders of this congregation for allowing me, my wife, to be here, for giving us that invitation. I want to thank Brother Jack and all he's done for us, and he and his good wife, for extending their hospitality to us while we were in limbo for about an hour or so, and we're very appreciative of that. And I've been an admirer of Brother Jack for quite some time. And my brother Steve Garrett, I thank so much of him. He has encouraged me so much as a young preacher in the cause of the gospel. And I love him and I appreciate him, and I just, he encourages me so much, and I'm just so thankful to be here with him and to be in his home with he and his wife. And I'm also thankful to see our family from Dowland Road here. We have some folks from Dowland Road that has traveled to come and be with us, and I suspected some were going to come this way. And every time I see my mentor Max, I get a little nervous because I remember how hard he was on me when I was trying to preach. So he's probably got his red pen back there. And he's ready to go to work tonight, but I'm so thankful to see he and Lee and Chuck and Bertha. And I'm also grateful to see the Cashmeres here. I've been an admirer of Brother Cashmere for quite some time. He's a great preacher, great servant of God. I'm thankful that he's here as well. As well, all of those who are visiting here and the members of this congregation, thank you so much. Let's get into our study from the Word of God tonight. If you have your Bible, we've come here to study from the Bible. We haven't come here to hear Sean Jeffries. I'm nothing special at all. I just try to be a servant of God. Tonight, I just want to teach from the Bible to you. And I want to ask you to go in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah. Will you please go to Jeremiah chapter 5? I want to begin this lesson by reading from Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. I want you to notice here in Jeremiah chapter 5 how the prophet of God is going to describe the spiritual condition of the people of Israel in his time. And he says in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 30, the Bible says this. It says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? Brothers and sisters, I want you to notice this evening that here we find some frightening words from the preacher and prophet Jeremiah. I want you to notice here how the prophet of God says that something terrible was happening during his time. He says that during his time, God's very own people, the people of Israel, they no longer want to hear the word of God. They no longer want to hear the inspired revelations that he was receiving from the Holy Spirit. And for us to be able to truly appreciate and understand what Jeremiah is talking about here, I think it is important that we pause for a moment and rehearse the work of a prophet. Remember, Jeremiah is a prophet. And a prophet is somebody who is supposed to be a spokesman for God. And the reason I say he is supposed to be that is because notice how Jeremiah tells us that there were some other men in his time who were also claiming to be prophets, except they were not true prophets. The Bible tells us that they were, in fact, false prophets. Unlike Jeremiah, they were not giving divine revelations from the Holy Spirit. Instead, they were preaching messages that were derived from their own minds. And the sad thing about this is, even though Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, the people of Israel didn't really like Jeremiah. In fact, the people of Israel at this time, they despised Jeremiah. They despised Jeremiah because he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. Instead, he told them what God wanted them to know. Specifically, he told them about how God was going to bring judgment upon them. And God was going to allow them to go into captivity because of their sins, while the false prophets, on the other hand, they preached a message that was the opposite of that one. You see, instead of telling the people of their pending doom and urging them to repent, the false prophets preached safety and security. Instead of preaching the truth, the false prophets preach lies. And unfortunately, these false prophets were not the only ones guilty of wicked behavior at this time. You see, in order for us to truly appreciate what's going on here, brothers and sisters, I think it is important that we do not overlook the response of the people in verse number 31. Notice there how God says through Jeremiah, "And my people love it so." In other words, the people of Israel at this time, they loved hearing the messages of the false prophets. They loved hearing lies. They loved not having their wicked behaviors and actions exposed. And let me ask you tonight, do these people in Jeremiah's time, do they remind you of anybody? I believe they should. I believe they should remind us of many of the people living in our time today. I believe they should remind us that we're also living in a time that is very similar to Jeremiah the prophet. You see, like Jeremiah the prophet, we are living in a time where there are few people around us who actually want to hear the inspired word of God. You see, instead of wanting to hear the truth from God's word and nothing but the truth, so many people today, they just want to hear messages that will make them feel warm and fuzzy inside. There's so many people today that they don't want to hear messages from God's word that will cause them to repent, that will cause them to change their lives. That is the very philosophy that so many people have adopted in churches, not only across this country, but across this world. So many people don't want to hear the word of God. And I'll tell you, living in a world like that, that confronts us with two very important questions. First, as God's people, as disciples of Jesus living in the 21st century, what are we going to teach? What are we going to teach considering the fact that there are few people around us today who actually want to hear the word of God? There are a lot of people around us who only want to hear teaching that will be accommodative to their current lifestyle. What are we going to teach, brethren, as Christians in 2015? And secondly, what will we as disciples of Jesus, what will we as lights in a dark world demand to hear ourselves when it comes to Bible preaching? In other words, when it comes to preaching and teaching from the Word of God, what exactly do we want to hear? Like the people in Jeremiah's time, do we also desire to hear a message that will only make us feel warm and fuzzy inside? I don't believe this thing is. Can you advance that for me, brother? I punched this thing and it's not going here. Is it going now? There we go. You might have to do that for me tonight. I'll cue you on that. But again, the question is, when it comes to preaching and teaching, what exactly do we want to hear? Like the people in Jeremiah's time, do we desire to hear a message that will reinforce what we already believe, what we already desire to do? Or do we want to hear the truth and nothing but the truth? Do we want to hear the whole counsel of God so that we can be all that God wants us to be, so that we can live the kind of lives that will truly bring glory to our King Jesus Christ? What do we want to hear, brothers and sisters? I want you to let that question kind of linger in your mind for just a moment. And as you do that, will you turn in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4? Our the basis or the foundation of our study tonight will be from 2 Timothy chapter 4. I hope that here in 2 Timothy 4 verses 1 through 3, we're going to be able to find the answers to the questions before us. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is going to be writing to a young preacher named Timothy. And notice with me what he says, if you don't mind. He says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom." Verse number 2, he says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Verse number 5, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I want you to notice how as the Apostle Paul closes this great letter to this young preacher, Timothy. He warns him about the very thing going on in Jeremiah's time and going on in ours as well. Notice here how Paul warns Timothy that there was going to come a time when a lot of people would no longer want to hear the inspired word of God. He says there was going to come a time when people would no longer want to hear the truth from the word of God. The Apostle Paul predicted that that was going to happen. And the question is, how exactly was Timothy or any true messenger of God supposed to deal with that problem? How exactly was a disciple of Jesus supposed to respond to those around him who no longer want to hear the pure and uncontaminated gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, thankfully, I believe that the Apostle Paul is going to give us the answers to these questions in this section of Scripture. In fact, I believe that in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul will give us at least three very important things that are designed to help disciples of any generation wrestle with this problem. And tonight, if you don't mind, I just want to share those three things with you. Tonight, if you don't mind, I want to share with you three very important things. Three things that I believe we need to always be mindful of when it comes to hearing the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And here's the first thing I want you to take home tonight, okay? The first thing I want you to take home tonight is this. First, I want you to notice the stern charge. The stern charge given to Timothy from the Apostle Paul. I want you to go back and notice very carefully 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Do you see that verse there in your Bible? I want you to notice how in preparing Timothy for what he was about to say, Paul first told him that he needed to think about some core things pertaining to the gospel. Specifically, he needed to think about God. And he needed to think about Jesus, and he needed to think about the judgment and the second coming of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Paul says that Timothy needed to think about all of these things as he prepared himself for what was about to follow. You see, what was about to follow was a stern charge from the Apostle Paul to preach the word. This idea of preaching the word in verse number 2 means that Timothy had to tell people not necessarily what they wanted to hear, but what God wanted them to know. This idea of preaching the word meant that Timothy had to understand that being a preacher meant that he was a spokesman for God. It meant that he had been entrusted with the most important message in the world, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand that God's power to save our souls is only found in one message and one message only, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 1 and verse number 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." For it, referring to the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice that God's power to save my soul and God's power to save your soul is found in one message. And that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the only message on the face of this earth to come from the very mind of God. And if Timothy was going to please the Lord, if he was going to please the please God as an evangelist, then he was going to have to stay true to that message. He was going to have to preach the word. In fact, after telling him to preach the word, I want to submit to you that everything else in this section of Scripture is going to show Timothy exactly how to teach the word and show all of us how to teach the word. And I want you to notice a few of those things with me. First, I want you to notice here how when it came to teaching the word or preaching the word, Paul told Timothy to be ready. He said you got to be ready in season and you got to be ready out of season. With these words, Paul means that a gospel preacher, he's got to always be on guard. He's got to always be on his post. He's got to preach the truth, whether it's convenient or it's not convenient. He's got to tell the people what the word of God has to say, whether they want to hear it or not. He's got to be like Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you study the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you will easily see that even though there were times, like in John chapter 6, when thousands of people left him on the very same day, even though he worked a miracle, they still left him on the same day because he taught the word of God. You see, even though a lot of people left Jesus, Jesus never compromised the word of God. Jesus never watered down the message. Jesus, as the perfect preacher, he was always ready in season and out of season, and any preacher today must strive to be like Jesus. He's got to be ready in season and out of season. And he's also got to give preaching that's going to expose sin. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul means when he says that we have to reprove and rebuke. You see, both of those words carry the idea of bringing sinners under conviction about their sins. Both of those words carry the idea of bringing sinners shame for their ungodly conduct. It means to preach in such a way in which you're urging people to change their lifestyle and live in such a way that will please God. And I tell you, that's the painful part. That's the very painful part of preaching the word of God the way God wants it to be preached. You see, we got to understand that this book right here, the word of God, this book, contrary to what a lot of people believe, this book calls for us to live a certain way. God does not want us, God did not make us so that we can just live any way we want to live on this earth. God wants us to live a certain way. God has a standard for my life and for your life, and that standard is found in his word. That's where the standard of God is found. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why God wants his word preached in the first place. God wants his word preached so that people can know exactly his standard and his way for their lives. God wants his word preached so people can know exactly how to receive his grace and his forgiveness, and so that they can know how to live lives every day that will bring glory to his name. It reminds me of what Paul said to another preacher named Titus in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. In Titus 2 and verse 11. The word of God says this. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Notice how the word of God is designed to reveal the terms on how we can receive the grace of God, and it shows us how to live in such a way in which we can please and glorify God. That's what the word of God does for us. And that means that regardless of who we are, if we are disciples of Jesus, if we've been washed by the blood of Jesus, we have a responsibility to do what Paul told Timothy to do. Regardless of if we're public preachers or not, we all have a responsibility to expose sin with the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11, in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead what? Instead even expose them." Notice how as disciples of Jesus, we have a responsibility to expose unfruitful deeds of darkness. And I know that's not an easy task. I know that. I know we currently live in a society where there are a few people around us who actually want to have their sins exposed. I know we live in a society where a few people around us actually want to change their lives. And in fact, I understand that some people, even some disciples, they live with the mentality of, well, nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I'm grown. I can do whatever I want to do. I take care of myself. Nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I know we live in a society where a lot of people think that way. I understand that. But regardless of how most people are, God says we still got to stay true to his mission. As disciples of Jesus Christ, God says we have a responsibility to show people a better way. We have a responsibility to take charge and stand for the truth, because Jesus says only the truth will set people free from their sins. My brethren, more than ever, God needs his people, people like me and you, to have enough love for his word that we're going to teach what it says, whether people want to hear it or not. As disciples, we got to teach in such a way in which we're going to expose sin, but beyond reproving and rebuking, I want to also show you how Paul told Timothy to use the word of God to exhort. That word exhort that Paul uses there means that he had to use the word of God in such a way that it would also encourage people. And wouldn't you agree, people need encouragement from time to time. People need encouragement. And thankfully, the word of God can bring us encouragement. The word of God is the most encouraging message in the world. It can encourage us when we're sick, when we're depressed, when we're lonely, when we're hurting. It can encourage us when life gets hard for us and we feel like giving up. No doubt the word of God is an encouraging message. And that's why Paul told Timothy to exhort others with it. In fact, while Paul told Timothy to do this, notice he told him to exhort with great patience and instruction. You see, from those words, we see that God wants us as Christians to be patient with one another. God wants us as Christians to help each other grow in the faith and learn in the faith in a very patient way. I'll tell you, it is a shame that sometimes new converts are discouraged by seasoned disciples because they expect them to grow overnight. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not right. The Bible says God wants us to exhort with great patience and instruction. That is the charge that Paul gave to Timothy. And that's the charge that God gives us all. You see, part of being a disciple means that we're going to teach the Word of God. Just like Paul told Timothy to teach the Word of God. Like Paul told Timothy, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready in season and out of season. Like Paul told Timothy, we're going to use the Word of God to encourage people, to build people up, but we're also going to have balance. We're also going to teach in such a way in which we're going to challenge people and we're going to expose any ungodly behavior they have in their lives. And not only are we going to teach in this way, but we're also going to demand to hear the same kind of teaching ourselves. We're going to demand to hear the kind of teaching that Paul told Timothy to give. That's the charge. That's the stern charge that Paul gave to Timothy. But the next question is this: why was Timothy given such a stern charge? Well, I believe the answer to that question is actually found in the next couple of verses. Will you please go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 again. Look at verse number 3, please. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, after telling Timothy to preach the word and telling him exactly how to do that, in verse number 3, he goes on to explain why he needed to give these instructions. He says in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Notice here how Paul gave Timothy this charge. Because God, who knows everything, he knew that preaching the gospel would not be easy. It would not be easy because according to the Apostle Paul, there would come a time when a lot of people would not endure sound doctrine. Let me tell you something. That language, sound doctrine, that is very interesting language to me. In fact, it is the same language that Paul uses when he talks to another preacher named Titus in Titus 2 and verse 1. Remember in Titus 2 and verse 1, Paul told Titus to teach the things that pertain to sound doctrine. Brothers and sisters, do you know what sound doctrine is? Sound doctrine is healthy doctrine. Sound doctrine is the pure and uncontaminated gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul told Timothy that there was going to come a time when a lot of people would not be able to endure. A lot of people would not want to hear sound doctrine. They would not want to hear the pure and uncontaminated gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they hear the word of God in its entirety, then that would ultimately demand that they change their lives. See, Paul says a lot of people would not be able to endure sound doctrine. You see, instead of hearing sound doctrine, Paul says a lot of people would want to have their ears tickled. He says a lot of people will go out and look for teachers who would tell them exactly what they wanted to hear. They would look for teachers who would approve of their sinful conduct and make them feel comfortable right where they were. That's what Paul says was going to happen. And I can't read these verses. I'm sorry. I can't read these verses without thinking about our current society. Whether you live in Tennessee or here in Texas, I think you will agree with me when I say there are a lot of people in our current society who cannot endure sound doctrine. There are a lot of people in our current society who can't handle the truth from the Word of God because they say it's too harsh for them. There are a lot of people around us who want to have their ears tickled. They want to live in such a way that they're satisfied with themselves. They want to do whatever they want to do. And like the people in Jeremiah's time, they then want to find teachers who will preach messages that will make them feel comfortable right where they are. They don't want to change their lives. And the real interesting thing about that to me It's the people who cannot endure sound doctrine. They're also smart enough to realize that they can find these soft kinds of preachers who will tell them what they want to hear. They're all over the place. I mean, you think about it. You examine pulpits across the country, and you will easily see that in the big scheme of things, there is very little preaching out there that really challenges people to live lives that will please God. There's very little preaching out there that will challenge people to give up sinful behavior. You examine pulpits across the country, and you'll easily see that finding men like Joel Osteen, yeah, the same Joel Osteen that's here in Houston, finding men like that at the Lakewood Church, that's easy to do. Finding men like that who will tell you whatever you want to hear, and they'll make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, those kind of preachers, they come a dime a dozen. They're much easier to find than preachers of truth. And the question we got to ask ourselves is this: what about us? What about me? What about you? I mean, what do we want to hear as God's people? Are we the kind of people who can endure sound doctrine? Can we do that? Are we the kind of people who want to hear the whole counsel of God? Do we want to hear the word of God in its entirety? Or do we just want to hear the parts that we personally prefer? For example, do we want to hear the truth about baptism and how if a person wants to have their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, they have to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins? Or are we the kind of people who want to hear lessons about instrumental music and how we have no authority from the New Testament to use it in our worship to God? Are we tired of hearing lessons about instrumental music? Do we want to hear lessons about church discipline and how God requires that we pull back our relationship from those disciples who stopped walking with Jesus? We pull back our relationship from those disciples who stopped following the gospel. Do we want to hear teaching about marriage and divorce and remarriage and the spiritual consequences of being in an unlawful marriage? Can we handle that kind of teaching? Do we want to hear teaching that will challenge us to live holy lives? Do we want to hear teaching that will challenge us to dress modestly, clean up our speech, and avoid putting unwholesome things into our bodies and into our minds? Do we want to hear teaching that will challenge us to be servants of God and servants of each other? Do we want to hear teaching that will challenge us to understand that being a Christian requires that we do more than just fill a pew on Sunday? Do we want to hear teaching that will challenge us to evangelize in this community? Do we want to hear teaching that will challenge us to go out into the world and fulfill the mission of Jesus? Go out and make disciples of the nations. Do we want to hear lessons that will motivate us to do the work of God? I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many people, even some disciples, who don't want to hear the truth about these things. They don't want to hear what the Bible says about these things because they are afraid it's going to offend people. It's going to run people off. But the question is, what about us? As I said before, we can always find somebody who will tell us what we want to hear. That's easy to do. In fact, that's exactly what's going on in pulpits across the country. But here in this place, at the Bel Air Church of Christ, you got to continue to be different. You got to continue. And I'm emphasizing the word continue because I know you're already doing it. But you got to continue to be the kind of people who have a sincere love for the truth. You got to continue to be like those people in Acts 13 and verse 42. In Acts 13 and verse 42, we can read about some people who, after they heard the Apostle Paul and Barnabas preach, they begged them to come back the next week so they could hear them preach again. You know, Paul's preaching was rejected a lot of times in his ministry, but that was one of the few times where people loved to hear what he had to say, and you got to continue to be like that. You got to be like Peter describes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Remember, Peter said, like newborn babes, we are to long for the pure milk of the word so that we may grow in faith therein by it. See, like Peter says, as Christians, we got to long for the word of God like a baby longs for milk. And like the deer pants for the water brooks, so must our souls long for God and long to be fed with the word of God. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 42 and verse 1. What I just want you to see is Paul told Timothy that he was going to face a time when a lot of people would no longer want to hear the word of God. He told Timothy there was going to come a time when a lot of people would no longer long and desire to be fed with the Word of God. That's what Paul told Timothy was going to happen. And it did happen. But the question is this. What are we supposed to do about that? Well, thankfully, I believe not only will Paul tell us the charge and the reason for the charge, not only will Paul tell us that some tough times are going to come, and we're living in those times, but thankfully, I'm thankful that Paul also told us how to respond to them tough times. And I want you to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4 one more time. If you don't mind, will you please go back to 2 Timothy 4 one more time? Let's conclude our lesson with these words right here, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul said this. He said to Timothy, after he told him a lot of people will not be able to endure sound doctrine, he said in verse 5, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. There are three things I want to close this lesson with, if you don't mind. There are three things that I believe Paul gives us here with respect to how we are to respond when a lot of people around us begin rejecting the truth from the Word of God. First, I want you to notice how Paul tells us that we got to be sober. You know what that word sober means? That word sober carries the idea of being calm and steady. It means we got to have our heads on straight. It means we got to carefully examine everything we hear and everything we see with the Word of God. It implies that we're not easily carried away by false doctrine. We're not easily carried away by doctrines that may appeal to the masses. And that means that it doesn't matter if it's me in this pulpit over the next 3 days, or Brother Steve or Brother Jack or whoever it may be. It doesn't matter who stands in this pulpit. You are always going to examine everything that is said here very carefully with the Word of God. You're going to understand that popularity does not make something right. Because Sean Jeffrey says it, that doesn't make it right. Ladies and gentlemen, if the Word of God says it, that's what makes it right. That's the standard we got to go by. We got to understand that God's Word, it's pure, it's the truth, and we have to examine everything carefully with it. It reminds me of what happened in Acts 17 and verse 11. In Acts 17 and verse 11, when the Apostle Paul preached to those in Berea, maybe you're familiar with this verse. There the Bible says, now these in Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica because they what? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not an inspired apostle was teaching them the truth. I want you to notice how those in Berea were noble-minded because they were sober-minded. And we got to be sober today as well. We got to be sober. And we also got to endure hardship. We got to endure hardship because it's not easy to preach the Word of God. It wasn't easy in Jeremiah's time. Wasn't easy in Jesus' time. Wasn't easy in Paul's time or Timothy's time. And it's not easy in our time today. Preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God can be very difficult because those who hear it, they may not always receive it well. For example, teaching the Word of God can cause some people to get angry with us. You know, there have been times in my life, in my short time in preaching, when I've taught the Word of God to somebody, I've taught them what the Bible says about baptism, I taught them what the Bible said about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and they got so angry with me, they shouted at me, they slammed their Bibles in my face, they cursed God. There have been times when those things have happened to me before. Preaching the truth can cause some people to get angry with you. It can cause other people to make unfair criticisms and false accusations against you. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? Isn't that what happened with the Apostle Paul? It can even cause some disciples to become bitter and move their membership. I don't like what they're saying there from the Bible. I can't be here. See, those are some of the hardships that come with preaching the Word of God. And when those times come, we got to make sure we never take that criticism personal. That's a mistake I made when I first started preaching. I used to take the criticism personal. And we got to make sure we don't do that. We can't take the criticism personal, because when people get mad at us after they hear the truth, they're not really mad at us. You know what they're really mad at? They're really mad at Jesus. They're really mad at the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say that is because this book we're teaching people, this book comes from God. We didn't make up one message in this book. We didn't make up one verse in this book. This book in its entirety comes from the very mind of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And that means that when people get mad after we show them something from the Bible, they're not really mad at us. They're really mad at Jesus. And because this is Jesus' book, that means we can't ever compromise what's found in it. If we compromise what's found in the book of Jesus, if we teach something else, we're going to be wasting our time. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 8. There Paul said, if we or an angel teach any other gospel, let him be accursed. We got to be sober. Got to endure hardship. And then finally, we can't let anything stop us from doing God's work. That's exactly what Paul means when he told Timothy to fulfill your ministry. That language means that Timothy could not allow discouragement to deter him from trying to reach the lost, and we can't either. You know, I believe with all my heart, there are few things in life more precious and more special than seeing some lost soul hear the word of God and see very clearly what the Bible says. And then they respond, not by getting angry, but they respond by saying, I want to do what the Bible says. And they repent of their sins. And they're immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. And they're born again the Lord's way. Ladies and gentlemen, there are few moments in life more precious and special than seeing somebody born again Jesus' way. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way, does it? Unfortunately, there are times when we may want to study with people, but guess what? They don't want to study with us because they don't have honest hearts. There are other times when people get mad because we teach them something from the Bible. They don't like what it says because, again, they don't have honest hearts. And there are some people who will obey the gospel. They will put Jesus on through baptism, but then as time goes on, they can't endure sound doctrine and they leave Jesus. You see, these are just some of the realities that come when we try to do God's work the way God tells us to do it, but no matter what happens to us, we can never quit. God does not need quitters. Instead, God needs people who are sober-minded, who will endure hardship, who will fulfill the ministry. I want you to take home tonight that we live in dangerous times. We do. We live in times where morality... most people don't even have any kind of morality anymore. We live in times where people don't have respect for the word of God. They don't love the word of God like we do. We live in times where so many people, even so many of God's people, they can't endure sound doctrine. Those are the kind of times we live in. And the challenge for us is this. We got to make sure that none of these things describe us. We got to make sure that as individual disciples, not only are we always going to teach what the word of God says, but we will demand to hear the truth always ourselves. We got to understand that how we view this book right here, our attitude towards this book right here, it has a lot of weight when it comes to our relationship with God and our love for Jesus. I really appreciate your kind attention tonight. I really appreciate it. And maybe there's somebody here tonight who, after hearing this lesson, maybe you realize that you have not been the kind of person that God wants you to be. Maybe you realize that you're the kind of person who's not been able to endure sound doctrine. Maybe you realize that you have been rejecting God for far too long. And it's time to submit to what God has to say. I am so looking forward to this gospel meeting over the next couple of days. Again, I'm so appreciative to this good church here. This church has a special place in my heart. And I want you to know I love you and I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. I want you to know that we're going to be studying some things that never change. You know, society changes, right? Culture changes. People change. But I hope you can see tonight that God's word doesn't change. God's standards never change. God's plan of salvation, it never changes. And maybe there's somebody here tonight who needs to respond to the gospel. maybe you need to turn away from sin and confess Jesus as the Son of God and put him on in the waters of baptism. Or maybe you've done those things in the past, but you haven't been living right. You haven't been living as a faithful child of God. You need to rededicate yourself to God. If we can help you with that, we're asking you to come to the front as Brother Steve will lead us.
Your only Son, no sin too high, but you have saved him from your side. To look upon this guilty Son, and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love, they crucify. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The awful thing they named the fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to live and mind your step and run, and to be called the Lamb of God. Oh,
safe return home. Tonight, Sean preached the gospel with power.